throw a number out to you. $63 billion. Did you know that an estimated 43% of software installed today is not properly licensed? Which equals to about $63 billion in lost revenue. Now, you wouldn't want that on your next quarterly review, now would you? Hello, my friends. This here is Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com. I'm your host, Amelia Dalton, and this week we're thwarting those dastardly cyber pirates with a mighty sword, a SmartFlow sword. My guest is Ted Morocco, CEO of SmartFlow Compliance Solutions. As you have probably guessed, Ted and I are diving into the deep, murky waters of cybersecurity and high tech. Oh, and I also ask him what it's like to play football with Alec Baldwin. You'll want to stick around until the end. Hi, Ted. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, Amelia. It's great to be here.
So for my audience who may not know, what does SmartFlow do?
Well, SmartFlow is a technology company. We actually develop software that's used to help software companies, or really any company, protect their valuable software intellectual property. So our focus is on identifying piracy, finding out who's using pirated copies, where they're using it, how much they're using it, and helping really create actionable intelligence so that something can be done about it to try to correct the problem.
All right, Ted, let's talk about software piracy and its ripple effect in high tech. How do you think software piracy is affecting both the business world and the everyday engineer?
Okay, great question. Yeah, software piracy, for lack of a better word, it's really bad, and it's getting worse. What we see happening is that globally, according to the Business Software Alliance, there's about 43% of the software that's out there being used is pirated. So that's a very large percentage, and the value of that software is about $63 billion. So it's clearly having a big impact on businesses. These are not just software companies. I read a very interesting story about Mercedes-Benz and how their diagnostic software for repairing cars was being pirated and used illegally by unauthorized dealerships. So it affects the automobile industry, it affects the garment industry, and it also affects high tech very, very negatively. And it definitely impacts jobs. So, you know, we've definitely seen a rise in the number of engineering jobs and the amount of design work that's being done in Asia, particularly in China. Coincidentally, you know, China has among the highest piracy rates in the world. So we feel there's really an unfair playing field. There's a competitive advantage to indigenous Chinese companies that don't really have to pay for software and steal it, and then they use it to compete in the business world against companies that are really subsidizing their efforts by buying legal licenses to the software. So it does. It destroys jobs and it hurts companies, and it's a problem that really needs to be addressed and taken seriously.
Tell me more about how SmartFlow's data collection capabilities work. You guys can attack both the blatant IP thieves as well as the companies that may be unintentionally non-compliant. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. The way we view the world is there's really about four different flavors of piracy that we see out there. And the good news is that at least three of the four flavors can be usually successfully converted into paying customers and oftentimes happy customers because they get better service, they get better support, they really can take advantage of the software better when they have a relationship with the vendor that's developing it. So it does have economic benefits, even though, you know, it does revolve around people paying for it. The types of piracy that we see, particularly the types that can be monetized, is some people will use crack copies because they think that they can't afford it. If you look, scour the internet, you can find very expensive software applications on illegitimate websites selling for $25 and less. So you can buy $1 million worth of software for about $25 on some of these sites. And people should be aware that they're buying a counterfeit product at that point. The other problem with some of these counterfeit products is they can have contain malware. A cracked version of software could be embedded with a Trojan that allowed people to access the network or to steal passwords or to steal credentials from these companies. And all of that can be dangerous to the company that's doing it. Some of these instances of piracy, most of the instances of piracy, are going on without the consent of senior management, or frequently pirated software comes in through a rogue employee or a naive employee that rather than going through the proper channels and buying the software through the purchasing organization, they will download something and install it on their machine. Frequently, these are students. A lot of times, students will graduate from the universities and they'll have a knowledge of how to find and use cracked software, and they'll bring those bad business practices into organizations. And they can be very reputable organizations like Intel or Google who have very strict policies against doing that. So where SmartFlow comes into the picture is we can help identify when software is not legitimate, when it's been tampered with. And identifying it is actually getting easier because the internet is increasingly connecting everything together. And with all of those connections, it's very easy to identify illegitimate licenses. And we can actually pinpoint the location of them, not just by the IP address, but we can actually physically locate where the software is being used, often as accurately as down to the cubicle of the guy who's using it. I don't want to talk too much about how we find it, but I do want to really speak to the companies out there that are concerned about this. We do have a solution. It works very well, and our clients are benefiting significantly from our technology.
So SmartFlow is a member of the EDA Consortium and actively involved in the EDA Consortium's Anti-Piracy Committee. So tell me more about why you joined the EDA Consortium and what your involvement in this committee is about.
Excellent question. And really, this question takes me all the way back to my previous company. So I was a co-founder of a company called AWR Corporation, and we were developing electronic design tools that were used for RF and microwave design, which is a small niche in the EDA community. And we discovered back in around 2002 that about 50% of the software that was being used out there was counterfeit or pirated. Over the course of 10 years, we became very good at identifying and monetizing these pirates, basically turning them into very good customers, to the point where 10 to 20% of our new business every year came from this piracy channel, the leads that came out of the compliance program. So I was very passionate about what we were doing, and really we became evangelists for compliance and actually worked to help create this committee in EDAC so that we could really take what I learned at AWR and teach it to other EDA companies so that they could also protect their intellectual property, because it really was, from our perspective, undermining the jobs of engineers that had spent years going to school to learn their craft and were losing their jobs to companies that weren't really playing by the rules. So EDAC is really a good committee and has really taken this forward, and SmartFlow is involved with EDAC, and we work with many of the major EDA players today and are implementing similar compliance programs to the one we did with my previous company, AWR.
Okay, Ted, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, I know that every year for Thanksgiving, you go to the Hamptons and face off against Alec Baldwin in a Turkey Bowl football game? So, how is Alec as a football player? And Ted, how do you stack up against him?
Well, you know, I have to say, Alec is a very fierce competitor. He takes the game very seriously, as do a lot of the people. We go toe-to-toe every year, and it is a lot of fun. My friend Marisha Parte is the organizer of this Turkey Bowl, and I'm very proud to have thrown a couple nice touchdown passes to the likes of George Stephanopoulos and Bobby Flay, and I think we're edging out Alec, but it's close. Every year is close. I think last year we fought to a draw, and we'll see how it goes this year. But I know it'll be competitive, and it'll be fun, and really looking forward to that as well.
That's awesome. Well, I, for one, am rooting for you, Ted. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me. This was super cool.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Amelia. Really appreciate the opportunity and look forward to doing this again soon.
Now, my friends, in this week's Kickstarter Corner, we're talking about the eighth wonder of the world. Video games. More specifically, old school arcade games. As a side note, if you're ever in the Portland, Oregon area, I would highly recommend going to Ground Control. They're downtown, totally packed to the gills with old school arcade games. Super fun. Anyway, if you can't make it to Portland anytime soon, then what if you could have a little Space Invaders on your desk? Or even better, in the palm of your hand. Getting frustrated with that place and route? Take a little Flappy Birds break. Synthesis got you down. Never fear, your tiny arcade is here to help. No need to pull out your smartphone and give even more money to King Games. Damn you, Candy Crush. Let me introduce you to Tiny Arcade. Tiny Arcade is an arcade cabinet that, yes, fits perfectly in the palm of your hand. Adorable does come to mind. The Tiny Arcade lets you play retro-style games all from a teeny tiny console, which measures about 3 inches by 2 inches or so. Games can be downloaded and are completely free from their site. Oh, and the best part? You can build your own! Yes! So, what kind of gear is inside these few inches tall arcade cabinets? The Tiny Arcade is based around tiny circuits, an Arduino-compatible platform that's about the size of a quarter. This platform includes Tiny Duino board, which has an Arduino Zero processor, USB, and OLED screen, all in a very small package. There is also an analog joystick, 2 push buttons for playing the games, a built-in speaker for playing audio, and I mean real audio, none of that piezo beeper business, a lithium battery, built-in USB for charging and reprogramming, and a micro SD expansion slot. Now, there are 4 games right now, but the makers of Tiny Arcade are hoping to have around 20 by launch time. The games available now are Flappy Birds, Tiny Invaders, kind of like Space Invaders, Asteroids, and Tiny Outrun. There is also another list on their site which includes 3D Attack, which looks a lot like Wolfenstein. Oh man, I played Wolfenstein for hours. Anyway, what if you want to create your own game? Well, yes, you can do that as well. Okay, so there are 2 different flavors of Tiny Arcades for your kickstarting pleasure. You can either order your Tiny Arcade completely pre-assembled, but seriously, where's the fun in that? Or you can order a do-it-yourself kit. Now, if you go the DIY route, there is no soldering needed or any special tools to make your very own Tiny Arcade. The circuit boards snap together and the acrylic cases assemble like a jigsaw puzzle. Apparently, it only takes about 10 minutes to assemble. All right, the bottom line. Cost of backing this Kickstarter. For the small price of $60, you can get 1 Tiny Arcade DIY kit, which includes all the parts you need to create your own Tiny Arcade. The electronics, preloaded with some games, the cabinet case as a kit, and the stickers with artwork. $75 will get you a pre-assembled kit. But if you're thinking like I did, hey, this would make a great gift for my nerdy game-loving pals. Well, $170 will get you 3 DIY kits, and $250 will get you 5 kits. Oh yeah, small print time. The estimated delivery for these tiny and adorable arcades is March of 2016. And one of the best parts, they will ship to anywhere in the world. If you want to back this Kickstarter campaign, I've included, of course, a link below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page on eejournal.com. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/eejournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at eejournaltfm. And hey, if Google Plus is your thing, you can also join our circle on Google Plus. We also have a YouTube channel, keyword eejournal, chock full of all kinds of techie videos, our very own popular Chalk Talk webcast series, and our video series called On the Scene. And you can subscribe to our eejournal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can also grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or perhaps the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of November 27th, 2015, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.